happened that spring, working for a few weeks and then quitting without notice, $8 apparently not being enough to compensate even the most unskilled. No matter. For every man who quit, there were 5 more waiting in line to take his place, $8 apparently being enough to fill any vacancy. I was responsible for showing the new recruits around on their first day, which took about 20 minutes and got me out of carrying drywall. Here's the porta potty, here's the foreman's office, here's the paper to sign. They wanted to know what the job was like. They wanted to know if there were health benefits. They spoke quietly and conspiratorially, as if what they asked might be perceived as treasonous. They wanted to know if they might have the opportunity to learn some plumbing or carpentry. "You'll have to talk to the boss about that," I'd tell them, but the answer was no. What they should have been asking me was if there was a union. No one knew that I was the boss's son. About once a week, my dad would show up in his powder blue Mercedes and walk around inspecting the progress, displeased and concerned, finding everything urgent and subpar, showing neither love nor special dispensation toward me, nor did I show any toward him. This seemed to come easily to the two of us. I was just another working man in wet overalls, and he was just another big shot in a 3-piece suit and a safety vest. The roles we played were generic, superficial, and true. Later, he'd tell me, "I'm doing this for you, not for me." What this was not entirely clear. "One day, all of this will be yours," he'd say. This was 3 subdivisions and a 10-story office building downtown. This was the powder blue Mercedes. According to my father, he wanted me to learn the meaning of hard work up close and personal so that I would know what life was really like, but also because he wanted me to experience what he had gone through growing up on the outskirts of town with 6 siblings, odd jobs, and no help from the government. In short, I was living a version of his life, albeit in reverse. From time to time, I would be paired up with a guy named Duncan DiAguardi, who was my age but looked 10 years older and who liked to order me around. "Put this here, put that there." He enjoyed the power, while I enjoyed the cold comfort of knowing that I could burst his bubble by telling him who my dad was. But a good actor never breaks character. Clearly, I was a novice and not very good at hard work, as Duncan and my father had already surmised. I got winded fast, I got apathetic fast, I cut corners when I could. I waited for opportunities to go to the porta potty, I waited for opportunities to smoke cigarettes. The cigarettes got me winded faster. "You need to get into shape," Duncan would tell me. "Why don't you use your next paycheck to buy yourself a Thighmaster?" This was a joke for him. He would walk around in short-sleeved shirts, impervious to the chill, a tattoo of a snake coiling around his bicep and crawling up toward his neck, en route to devour his face, a dramatic and striking image if ever there was one, doubly so against his pale skin, slick with drizzle. In the meantime, I slouched beneath drywall, imagining L.A. in the spring, waiting for lunchtime, quite proficient at not being the boss's son, and all the while reassuring myself that one day in the future I would be performing some version of this role with nuance and veracity, out of shape or not. "What did you draw from to create the character?" the critics would ask me. "Why, from real life," I would say. When lunchtime arrived, I'd sit around with the other general laborers, 30 of us on upturned crates in an unfinished living room with a spring breeze blowing through the glassless windows, eating roast beef sandwiches and talking about money problems, home problems, work problems. My problems were not their problems, but I wished they were. Their problems were immediate, distinct, and resolvable. Mine were long-term, existential, and impossible. When I spoke, I tried to approximate the speech patterns of my co-workers, the softened consonants.